Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of misoprostol found under the gastrointestinal section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 60-year-old woman with a history of chronic pain presents to her primary care physician for an annual checkup. She follows a pain specialist regularly and had recently weaned off all opioid pain medications. She is chronically taking ibuprofen and naproxen. She reports occasional heartburn but denies any abdominal pain. Her physician is concerned about NSAID-induced peptic ulcer disease. After confirming that she is postmenopausal, her physician discusses using misoprostol with her to prevent peptic ulcer disease. Let's continue with an introduction to misoprostol. The mechanism of action is that it is a prostaglandin E1 analog, which strengthens the gastric mucosa barrier and decreases acid production. It may also decrease the degree of fat malabsorption in patients with fat malabsorption disorder. Its mechanism in this is unclear, but misoprostol is thought to stimulate duodenal bicarbonate production. Clinically, it is used for NSAID-induced peptic ulcer prophylaxis. Remember that NSAIDs block PGE1 production. It is also used for induction of labor. Remember that PGE1 ripens the cervix. Adverse effects include diarrhea, abdominal pain, and it is an abortive. So remember that it is contraindicated in women of childbearing age. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to misoprostol, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 28-year-old G1P0 female at 10 weeks gestation presents to the ED with vaginal bleeding and abdominal cramping. She first noticed spotting yesterday morning with increasing vaginal bleeding and passing of clots. Her pregnancy has been uncomplicated up to this point, and she has received regular prenatal care. Her vital signs are within normal limits. Physical exam is remarkable for tenderness to palpation of the lower abdomen and pelvis. Pelvic exam reveals blood at the vaginal vault with an open cervical os. Her beta HCG level returns at 34,900. A vaginal swab returns positive for chlamydia infection. Transvaginal ultrasound is performed, which demonstrates retained products of conception with a thickened endometrial wall. No fetal heartbeat is appreciated. What is the appropriate management for this patient's presentation? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, start antibiotics and oral mifepristone. Choice 2, start antibiotics and perform suction, dilation, and curettage. Choice 3, expectant management. Choice 4, start oxytocin IV drip. Or choice 5, start antibiotics and oral misoprostol. The best answer to this question is choice 5, start antibiotics and oral misoprostol. This patient has suffered an incomplete spontaneous abortion as evidenced by the loss of the pregnancy before 20 weeks gestation with retained products of conception. Incomplete spontaneous abortion occurs when a partial passage of products of conception occurs. Clinically, it presents with vaginal bleeding, abdominal pelvic cramping, and an open cervical os on physical exam. Transvaginal ultrasound can demonstrate the residual products of conception with a thickened endometrium. The management options for incomplete spontaneous abortion include uterine evacuation with a suction DNC, oral misoprostol, or expectant management. In the setting of a confirmed vaginal infection, the best option is to administer antibiotics and oral misoprostol. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. There is a scarcity of data regarding the utilization of mifepristone for incomplete spontaneous abortion. Choice 2. Surgical evacuation is less desirable in the setting of an active chlamydial infection, as this can worsen the infection. First-line treatment with oral misoprostol can be attempted, since the patient is otherwise stable and emergent surgery or procedures are not indicated at this time. Choice 3. Expectant management can be considered, but antibiotics should still be administered given the patient's infection. Choice 4. Oxytocin is not a recommended management option for incomplete spontaneous abortion. That's all for this review about misoprostol. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on medbullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.